Welcome to Roam, Reflect, Repeat. We're just a podcast talking about traveling for work, adventures, hiking, backpacking, camping, Disney vacations. Pretty much if it's a experience, we're going to talk about it. So thank you for joining in and sit back, relax, and enjoy this time. Welcome to Roam, Reflect, Repeat. This is episode 5 of the never-ending season. I know some podcasters, they do different seasons. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that yet. Still fairly new to it. We haven't really gotten any guests yet. Not sure, how do you close out a season? How do you start a season? A lot of learning factors, a lot of learning curves going on with this. But tonight I want to talk about last month. On March the 2nd of 2020, I made the longest trip that a man can make. I traveled from a project I was working on in Houston, Texas, to my hometown of West Monroe, Louisiana, to see my mother for the last time. We had stopped by and visited her on our way out to Coffeyville for another work job, and we were on our way home. We got turned around, and I went back to see her. I was like, let me swing by here and see Mama. And we stopped in, and I talked to her that morning, and we left. And as we were leaving, my wife, she looked over and she said, "What's wrong?" And I had the realization that I felt like that was the last time that I would see her in her house. And so on March 1st, I got the call from my cousin that they had admitted her back into the hospital, and that it didn't seem good. She had been battling small cell lung cancer. And so on March the 2nd, I loaded all my stuff up, and I got in the truck, and I took off. And it started out with, I set my playlist, and that didn't last long. And the miles, they just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And it wasn't like time had slowed down. It was almost as if I didn't want them to pass because I knew where I was going. And with that, came some peace. It came some prayer. It came with some worship. It came with some thankfulness and some, very few regrets. I try not to, and I hope you don't live a regretful life. I had come to peace with things that were, things that wouldn't be, and things that were happening now. So I made that trip, and I pulled into the hospital, and it was only 6 hours, 7 hours in the vehicle. But it was hard miles. It was a trip with some weight to it. And I don't know if I'd ever experienced travel that way. I have left the house for a project that, called in, and I had 2 hours to get all my gear packed up and ready to go and jump in the truck and be gone and leave, my wife and at the time young son. But never anything with a finality and a weight like that road trip. But yet it was still, it was still enjoyable through the tears and the memories and the peace that comes from being strong in my faith. It was truly a once in a lifetime trip. It was not filled with things about that trip that I remember. They weren't about the things I saw. They were about the things I felt. But none of those were sorrow. It wasn't sorrow in the way that you would expect it to feel. It wasn't a finality. There was none of that, and that goes back to, she was a woman of faith, I am a man of faith, and our promise of what's on the other side was holding true. So it kind of moved me the whole way that, I was getting to, experience my own personal thoughts on death. And I wasn't sorrowful. I wasn't beaten down. I wasn't consumed with heartbreak. I was consumed with a peace that I had a task and a role to play in the passing of someone I loved. So as the miles kept going on and on and on, and it seemed like I was never going to get there. There was no traffic. There was no roadblock. It was just a weight that felt like everything had a drag on it. I was able to think about this podcast and go, how will I address this on the podcast? How do you explain the weight of a final drive? A weight when you are going somewhere that once you get to that destination, the only thing there is to say is goodbye. And I still don't know. I wanted there to be a revelation of, this is what I got from that. This is what happens. It's not. It's a very blank kind of experience. You are traveling. You're doing the things you do as, if you're a roamer. You are definitely reflecting on the situation and the scenario that you find yourself in, and there's nothing that can prepare you for that. And then you get to not repeat it. It kind of went against everything that the podcast is. There is no chance to go back and do that again. Thankfully that through redemption and the sacrifice on the cross, we don't have to go back and do that again. I had thought about recording this on Easter to kind of tie that all together, but I feel like, we're still close enough that it's relevant. So that's how that went. That was an experience that I will actually treasure because so much growing in my faith took place that day. To be able to find solitude and sanctuary in what was happening and where I was going. And then while I'm there, you know, at the hospital, there's a rekindling with cousins and aunts and experience with family that I had not experienced in a while because of my busy life and my pulling up of anchors, as I've said before. I was able to, you know, to feel the dirt on those roots of my life and kind of dip back into the soil of my aunts that had so much to do with shaping me. And it truly was an experience that I will always treasure, that I will not look back on that ride with, oh man, I never want to do that again. I will look back on that ride with, I'm glad I had that opportunity. So after the funeral, I traveled back home with my wife and my son, my two most, you know, precious people, renewed, for I had spent a week up until that point. We buried her on March 6th. We had a beautiful ceremony, and it was a great ride home. We took the long way. We came through Mississippi via the Natchez Trace. We got to do what we do, and that is travel a little bit. We got to take a break. We got to take a break from that sad moment and spend with each other. And I guess that's what it all boils down to, is I had an opportunity to deal with my sadness by myself, to deal with the weight of it on my own, without having to concentrate on how others were feeling. And then once they arrived into my picture, I was able to be strong enough to hold them up and to anchor them. And from that, I got to leave that place with peace in my heart, renewed in my faith. Maybe not renewed isn't the right word, but strengthened. It was firmed up. And then we came home via the Natchez Trace, which is one of the best rides you can make in the South. And, you know, really, you know, drive 50 miles an hour and basically stop at every little divot in the road and take some photographs and experience each other and smell some fresh air and, look at life through a different lens. So I felt like I wanted to share that with you, partly to kind of, you know, honor her. She truly loved the podcast. She was very excited the first time I had sent it to her, and she was kind of excited about it. It gave her an opportunity during her sickness to, you know, to hear my voice and my thoughts, and I feel like she treasured that. We didn't have an opportunity to talk about it, but we don't get an opportunity to do everything. But that was an interesting ride. I feel like if we take what we love to do, and that is to explore and to see new things, I think it benefits us. I know it benefited me to get to experience it at all different stages of life. We know the exhilaration of when we drive to the hospital and, you know, your wife says, okay, that's it. It's time to go. You know, we got to go to the hospital. And you get in the car if you're a father and you make sure you've got everything you need. Do I have this? Do I have that? Did I remember this? Do I remember that? Do we, you know, and then there's that excitement of life coming to us. But there's also another side to that. And that is when you are traveling, not to welcome someone into the world, but to walk with them out of it. And I think it was a moment that I will forever cherish and be very proud to say that I was there, that I made that trip, that I was able to spend those last few moments at that time. And so we're gonna take a little break. You know, I take a break like I might have a sponsor one day. I just want to get in the habit of it. I'm gonna come back and I want to discuss the importance of bucket lists, and I don't want to call it bucket lists, a list of things that you want to do, and write those down. Let's talk about that. Let's see how feasible some of those things are. Okay, so as we were on a grand adventure from the end of middle of February to middle of March, and then I immediately came home for a couple weeks and headed up to Utah. But Utah during the COVID crisis and the lockdown, that's an episode in itself. We had some pretty good times. So we I had a little small little project going on that I had to go work on a piece of equipment up in my favorite small town in America of Coffeyville, Kansas, and had a great opportunity. I kind of, you know, set it up. I rented a car and myself and they rode with me. And so we headed up to, when we went up there, we had just a great time. And we went, eased our way up there. And I hope to get into that kind of conversation, but we got to see some really pretty things. And it, at some point in time during all of this, we got to talking. My wife told me that I needed to make a list. I'm not a lister. My list end up being a manifesto of some sort, and it just turns into crazy. But what I did was I kind of took the things that I wanted to do and put them down. I mean, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have an idea of what you want to do and see how feasible they are. And so I kind of put together, you know, the things that I really want to do that, if I didn't do them all, it was okay as long as I did some, because one would be just as glorious as the other. So I started my list, you know, and, you know, we're all about adventure. We're all about travel. We're all about enjoying this great creation that is the earth and seeing all that it has to offer. So while we're on our way up there, we're going to start the list off with what I didn't realize was until last summer, me and Ralph and Travis and my son Luke and Ralph's son William, we took just a little canoe camping trip just overnight. It wasn't a long drawn out thing. We went up the Escatawba River and right here in South Alabama. It actually kind of runs, part of it's in Alabama, starts in Alabama and ends up at the tying into the Pascagoula River and leading into the Gulf of Mexico down in Mississippi. So we were on the Mississippi side. It is actually one of the few true nationally recognized Blackwater rivers It is a clear water river, but it's tea colored. It looks like tea. Do the tannins from the pine trees, the sap and the rotting pine trees that fall in it and are on the banks of this river. It leaves this tea color. And I will tell you this. So I started last year in 2019, I bought a Sawyer water filter. And my thing is I like to drink water from different places I go. It started out in Rocky Mountain National Park, and that water is phenomenal. It's snow melt, it's glacial. It's just a great tasting water, you know, coming out of the filter. The Escatapa River, not so much. It tastes like what a river colored from decaying pine trees would taste like. It is a unique taste that I will always remember, and I will never need to try again. So as we were on our little work trip or whatever, and we're going up, we had the opportunity to come through Arkansas, and I grew up in North Louisiana, so Arkansas was always right there, but I didn't ever think anything of Arkansas until this trip, and I got to see most of the state. And that western part, once you get into the Ozarks, is hands down, to me, it rivals Tennessee as far as mountainous terrain here in the South. Arkansas and Virginia, I would even say, you know, Arkansas is right up there with West Virginia as far as the Granite Mountain, true mountainous feel that you expect as far as the ruggedness of it. But the rivers, my goodness, those rivers. So we kind of came in from Branson and worked our way down to Hot Springs National Park. And so that's kind of where my list began, was on that trip. And so, you know, as she talked to me, she said, hey, make you a list. I'm going to tell you, the first thing that came to my mind was I loved a canoe camp. There's something fantastic about loading up on a river in a paddle canoe. And truly, you know, it doesn't get any more rugged than that. I mean, to travel by canoe, to have to pack in all your supplies, to, you know, to setting up camp, that's just a phenomenal experience that I think really brings out a primitive side to us that opens us up to reflect on our ancestors. And, you know, I've spoken before of the adventurous spirit that is the American spirit. I mean, we are an expeditionary and adventuring people by nature, as you know, even as we came across, you know, as with the Pilgrims, as the first settlers made their way into Jamestown. Or you can also talk about the Vikings. If you're on board with the Vikings were actually the first people to make landfall here, I'll buy into that too. Still the same kind of, they were on an adventure. They were looking to see what else was out there. So you really get that with canoe camping. But to get back to the list, you know, definitely the Buffalo River. I actually posted some pictures of the Buffalo River on Instagram. You know, take a look at those and take a look at those. You know, Buffalo River is top of my list. Another great river that I follow people on Instagram and social media that I would love to take an adventure on, and that's the Rio Grande River, the section that runs through Big Bend National Park. If you ever get a chance to, you know, get on YouTube and check out some of those videos, I think you'll find that you would love that just as much too. It's just wide open, rough, rugged country, clear water, desert on either side, mountains, deep canyons, and I want to say it's like 130 miles just through the national park. You know, America on one side, Mexico on the other. You just get that, to me, just screams adventure. Another canoe camp that I'm hoping to go do as soon as possible, and this may actually be the first one I get to do, is the Colorado River. If you get up there, if you've ever been to Rocky Mountain National Park, that's close to the headwaters of the Colorado. We were up there last summer. Really was our first, foray into we're going to go and be a part of the national park kind of people. It's the thing that inspired the podcast. It's the thing that kind of transformed our lives to really take traveling seriously and make it a part of who we are. And some of the most beautiful stretches of it, that are, without getting into the deep rapids, are right there in the national park, in Rocky Mountain National Park. That's where we saw our first moose. Just a whole lot of things. It's a beautiful stretch of river with great trout fishing, and I think that would be a truly something to set our sights on. Get the guys together, my committee of men that I spend my time with, and we may even bring Pastor Josh along on that one. Another one, and this ends my canoe camp list, is the Everglades. There is something fascinating about the rugged southern wilderness that is the Everglades. It is truly one of our, along with the Atchafalaya Basin and the Mobile Delta, it is truly one of our wild waterways that America has to offer. Growing up in North Louisiana, living on the Gulf Coast in Mobile, alligators and snakes, they really don't bother me. I'm not sure how I feel about these pythons they've got down there, but we'll try and eat one or something. So that kind of rounded out that my canoe camp list of things, I want to go do those. All of those are within striking distance. They're either a short plane ride, a direct flight, or a one-day drive from where I'm at. So I kind of look at that and I go, these don't have to be, two-week-long adventures. These are a 4 or 5 day. You get a couple of nights on the river, and then you pack up and you come home, and you've got to experience that in a moderation that will, to me, I feel like it will leave you hungry for more, which is kind of the thing you don't want to accomplish everything on your list. So my second section of my list is the mountains I want to climb. Now, none of these mountains we're not talking about going to Everest. We're not talking about, the seven summits. What I'm talking about is doable 3 to 4 day adventures that can be done. I can do these while my wife is in town, enjoying a spa day, or my son and I can go do these, and they're all pretty pretty doable. One that I've always been fascinated with, it was the first big mountain I ever remember seeing and knowing what mountain it was, is Mount Rainier. I have watched several videos on YouTube about how that goes. You can do it in a day. You start out, you go up, you hike up the first morning, you stop at the camp there. Some of the guide services have shelters. You camp, you get up about 1 o'clock in the morning, and you make it to the summit. It's a 14,000 foot mountain. It's iconic. It is in the great state of Washington, and it's a very doable mountain. It's one that I feel I truly have a shot at accomplishing that. My number two mountain is Long's Peak, once again in Rocky Mountain National Park. That was the centerpiece of the park is Long's Peak. Everything is situated around Long's Peak. From any area of the park that you're in, Long's Peak stands out. It's the highest part. It's It's a 14,300 foot mountain. It's got a really rugged trail that leads up to the top. It can be done in a day. It is a, you know, there's some scramble to it. There's some pretty dangerous terrain. You have to have some planning to it. But it's doable. You got to make sure your wind's right. You're not going to catch any of those afternoon thunderstorms you know, to be successful with that. So getting in, you know, the whole purpose of this is, and as we go on, I follow a lot of, I in my heart and in my mind want to be a backpacker. I want to be a thru hiker. How I could ever make that happen, now that truly is something that did not make the list, because it is something that I probably will never do. But I appreciate the backpacking community. I appreciate what they do for outdoors. The thru hikers have truly helped drive innovation in our outdoor market. They have saw a need and filled a need for lighter equipment, using, you know, truly modern technology to bring us back to the basics of what outdoor experiences are. So, you know, one of the other mountains I would love to go is Mount Katahdin up in Maine. It's the it's a terminus. It's the northern terminus for the Appalachian Trail. I have no desire to do the whole Appalachian Trail. I would like to do the part through Smoky Mountain National Park. And I would like to do that part leading up to the summit of Mount Katahdin. And then we get out of the country, Machu Picchu. You know, you just, all you have to do is say the name and it stirs imagination of the Aztecs and the Incas, of a history that is still alive in the people down there. A part of the country that for the most part has not been, has been left alone. I mean, it's still, the ruins are still there. They're still strong. You can still experience those in much of their glory and be able to take in that culture and enjoy what's left and experience, you know, a whole new world to me. So that's kind of where I'm at on that part of the list. The list, you know, it goes on. We've got some countries we want to visit, some vacations in the national parks that I want to take. One or two, a couple of those I've been. I've been to Yosemite. I've been to Yellowstone. I've been to the entrance of Grand Teton. I want to catch a couple of the ones in California, Sequoia and Joshua Tree. I want to get out up into Canada and go experience Banff. I'd like to go to Acadia National Park up in Maine. And then I kind of got to see, I didn't get to experience, but I got to see part of the landscape that makes up arches and canyon lands in Utah. And it spurred me on. Utah is top of my list of adventures and national parks that I want to go experience. And so hopefully soon, maybe not this year. I'm hoping this year we get to just drop it all and head up that way. But we do have a Shenandoah trip planned as far as our national parks. And we're going to, looks like with the lifting of some of the bans, it looks like we may get up to Gatlinburg and do Smoky Mountain. So that's it. So that's kind of part of my list. We may do another episode and get into some more and maybe have some guests on and discuss list and the importance of planning your adventures and you know, putting those thoughts into actions. And there's I can't remember who it is that I follow, but their catchphrase is thoughts become things. So that's kind of where it begins. We think about it, we long for it, we play out in our mind how that would look and how that would go, and put those thoughts and let them become things. So I just want to leave y'all with, you know, just some thoughts tonight as I close out, that I'm grateful for every opportunity that I have. I'm grateful for every moment that I get to spend with people, and I am thoroughly excited about what the future holds as we roam to places we've never been, reflect on the glory that God has put before us, and repeat the story and the process that it took to get there.